In my life, in union with the Lord, it is great joy to me that after so long a time, you once more had the chance of showing that you care for me. I don't mean that you had stopped caring for me, you had just no chance to show it. And I'm not saying this because I feel neglected, for I have learned to be satisfied with what I have. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have more than enough. I have learned this secret so that anywhere, at any time, I am content, whether I'm full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. But it is very good of you to help me in my troubles. You Philippians know very well that when I left Macedonia in the early days of preaching the good news, you were the only church to help me. You were the only ones who shared my profits and losses. More than once, when I needed help in Thessalonica, you sent it to me. It is not that I just want to receive gifts. Rather, I want to see profit added to your account. Here then is my receipt for everything you have given me, and it has been more than enough. I have all I need now that Epaphroditus has brought me all your gifts. They are like a sweet-smelling offering to God, a sacrifice which is acceptable and pleasing to him. And with all his abundant wealth through Christ Jesus, my God will supply all your needs. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
How many of you are old enough to remember the little jingle? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. There's a few in the right age group, yeah. How often do we hear those words, that phrase, all I need is? How often do you hear farmers say, all I need is one good season? All we need is one good rain. How often do you hear people say, all I need is a little bit of happiness? All I need is to have a good friend. All I need is a holiday. In our reading this morning that Robin brought to us, Paul is writing from prison to his friends, the Philippians, thanking them for their support and explained to them his current situation. When Paul wrote this letter, he was an old man. His life was almost over. He was in prison, really facing a death sentence. He'd literally lost all his earthly possessions. Everything was taken away from him. He'd given up hope of ever having a home of his own. He'd given up hope that he might be able to continue the great work that he was doing in spreading the good news of Jesus. But he had a secret, and Paul's secret was contentment. This morning I want to look at a little word which crops up again and again in the passage that Robin read to us. There's a little word, all, A-double-L. It's probably the most important word in this passage. It's a measure of Paul's thinking. It's a measure of the condition of Paul's heart. And in the context of Paul's letter, this little word is so significant, so powerful, and so meaningful. And this morning I want to look at three times when Paul used that little word, all. The first of these is in verse 12, where he speaks of all circumstances. Anywhere, he says, at all times, I am content. They are pretty big words coming from anyone at any time, I believe. But in Paul's situation, they're even greater still. And Paul's looking at his current situation where the earthly things have gone. They're of very little value to him. What he has left are the eternal things, the things of his heart. And these are the important things to him. And this is why this man is contented, because of these eternal things. In today's world, material possessions are becoming more and more important. Contentment is not a hallmark of society today. Look at people at a checkout at a Foodland store. They line up, their trolleys peak to the hilt with food, some essential, some just luxuries. People get upset because the queue's not moving quickly enough. A little checkout chick, she's not fast enough. She's only new to the job. A couple of old ladies up ahead got big baskets and they're very, very slow. People get upset. While at the same time, half of the world is starving to death. Look at people in the city traffic. In their modern cars, the traffic's come to a halt, red light, accident, whatever it might be, the traffic has stopped. People sitting in these luxury cars with press button, everything you'd like to have, upset, while billions, I mean billions, of people across the world walk many, many kilometres every day to get fresh water. Look at the COVID situation in Australia at the moment. What a lovely country and a wonderful country we live in. COVID virtually under control. But yet people are getting upset because the vaccination program is not moving quickly enough or the way they'd like to see it happen. Getting upset while in India 4,000 people die every day and 400,000 are infected. I believe discontentment is becoming a national disease. A certain king was told that he would be healed of his illnesses if he wore the shirt of a contented man. The king took this advice literally. It wasn't meant to be quite like that, but he took it literally, and he sent his servants out to find a contented man. They searched all over the countryside and eventually they returned. After this long search, with a man who was really happy and really contented. But he did not own a shirt. There are many discontented people in our world today who believe that if they were to move to another town, if they were to move to another job, if they were to move to another church, they would be happy, only to discover that that discontentment goes with them and is unpacked in their new environment. The answer to discontentment is, of course, a change of heart and a change of mind. The pressure of daily life, keeping up with the Joneses, staying in style, looking for a more luxurious life, the pressure of wanting things the way we should have, the way we would like to have them, always striving for something different, creates discontentment. A Quaker put a sign out the front of his house and it read like this: "I will give this house to any man who can prove to me that he is content. Soon after, there was a knock at the door, and the man said, "I am totally contented." And the Quaker said to him, "Tell me what you really mean by that." "Well," he said, I have plenty of money. I have everything in life. I am perfectly contented." The Quaker said, "If thee is so content, what does thee want with my house?" Contentment is not having all that we want. True contentment is wanting only what we have. True contentment is wanting only what we have. Paul was content with the little he had, and it was very little, virtually nil. Almost everything had been taken away from Paul, but yet at the same time, he was able to say, "Anywhere, at all times, I am content." The second time Paul used "all" was in verse 13. "I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." I have strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. How often do people make things so hard for us? By their words or by their deeds? How often do we find the task ahead so difficult? Sometimes we think it's impossible, beyond us. We, like Paul, need the strength that is constantly available through Jesus. Paul knew he needed Jesus as the centre of his life. Paul knew that Jesus was the centre of his life. How important is the centre of something? As you folk travel to church this morning, you travel on one of man's greatest inventions, the wheel. How important is the centre of that wheel? The axle, the hub, if you like. It needs to be strong. It needs to be reliable. It needs to be sound. Look at the fans in this church. How important is the centre of that fan? Look at Central Railway Station in New South Wales in Sydney. The centre of the rail, not the geographical centre, but certainly the centre of the rail system. If things go badly wrong at Central Railway Station, the whole rail network is affected. The same applies to us too. Whatever is in the centre of our hearts determines how we will live our lives. It will determine what we say, and it will determine how we treat others. The middle verse of the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8. It has a great message for us. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to depend on man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to depend on man. Now, Bible students have discovered this centre verse, and I'm told there are 15,586 verses before and 15,586 verses afterwards. They've also learnt that there are 594 chapters before this one and 594 chapters afterwards. And if you want a little bit more trivia, add the 594 and the 594 together, and you will get 1188. Psalm 118, verse 8. As the old TV ad said, what are the chances? Was it a fluke? I don't believe so. I believe that God placed that verse at the center as the axis, as the pivot point for our lives. And it's a point of balance for the whole Bible. The third time that Paul used the word all was in verse 19, when he speaks of all your needs. My God will supply all your needs. My God will supply all your needs, as he spoke to the Philippians, or wrote a letter to the Philippians, assuring them that God would look after them. He was thanking them also that they had helped him along the line and provided for him, and he was reassuring them that God would continue to look after them as well. Back in 1900, a sociologist in America conducted a survey, and people were asked to write down the things that they wanted. And at this particular time, the average person wanted 73 different things and considered 19 of them to be important. A similar survey was conducted 50 years later in 1950. At that time, the average person wanted 496 things, up from 73, of which they considered 96, up from 19, to be important. What would that survey disclose today, I wonder? Every day this world continues to look at their wants, not their needs. God made the world and he promised to provide for all creation. There's plenty in the world for every man's need, but not enough for every man's greed. There's a story told of a wealthy landowner who wanted to reward one of his workers. He'd been with him for a long time, reliable, honest. And he said to this worker, I will give you a parcel of land. Whatever area you can walk around in half an hour, that's yours. But you must complete the circle. The worker was so excited, he headed off. Wasn't long into his walk, he started thinking to himself, if I walk a bit faster, the circle will be bigger. Soon after that, he thought, well, perhaps I could do it with a slow jog. And then greed started to take over. His jog became a fairly fast run. And then he decided he would sprint and make that circle as big as possible, and his reward would be so much greater. But alas, this poor man had a heart attack and died. Sounds like you feel pleased for him. Sometimes our needs, folk, are not physical or material. Many of our needs are spiritual and mental. Maybe our need today is to visit someone. Maybe our need is to talk to someone, spend some time with someone. Maybe our need is to accept someone. Maybe our need is to forgive someone. We all have a need for a forgiving spirit. And what a great transformation would take place in many churches today if every member had a forgiving spirit. It's Today, are you confident that the Lord can supply all your needs? Do you accept Paul's words in verse 6? Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. Paul's story, an amazing story, an amazing man. To think that for the early part of his life, he went about persecuting, condemning, making life as hard as possible for anyone who was a follower of Jesus. And then one day, on the road to Damascus, the light of Jesus shone right into his heart, and he became a new man. And he went on to be one of the greatest disciples of all time. He went on to write almost half the books of the New Testament. But unfortunately, during his life, he suffered much hardship. He was punished severely. He was chained, flogged, and he faced death on many occasions. Yet, through all this, he was able to finish this passage that was read to us this morning with the words, "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever." When I look back at the life of Paul, I see many similarities in the life of Paul and the life of Jesus. Paul was misunderstood. Paul was falsely accused. Paul had lies told about him. He was criticized. He was hated. He was rejected. Paul's own people turned against him. He was considered a threat to their power and to their leadership. Very similar things happened to Jesus in his time, didn't they? Really, folks, things haven't changed much in 2,000 years. Today, in 2021, Christian missionaries, leaders, teachers, pastors, ministers of the word are still facing determined and heartfelt opposition in many places. So often these modern day disciples that we have are seriously affected by misunderstandings, false accusations and rumours. Like Paul was supported in his early days, we too need to be praying for and supporting these modern day missionaries of ours, these modern day disciples. We need to be supporting these people who are known to us to be sharing the good news of Jesus and the message of the cross. As we leave here this morning, do we share Paul's secret? Are we like Paul, thanking God and praising God for all he has done for us through all circumstances, through all conditions, and supplying all our needs? Big question. The secret to contentment is not self-sufficiency, but Christ's sufficiency. Have you discovered the secret? Do you have a contented heart? Amen.